There's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But the clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MACK25.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
Hey, this is Brandon from Outsiders Podcast. First off, thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Second, I want to talk about Anchor. What's Anchor, you ask? If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Free. Yeah, I said it. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer, if you're into that kind of thing. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place, all in one place. So go to Anchor FM or your app store, download Anchor. Thank you. Podcast away.
Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Woodall. To my left,
Brett Welty. Hello.
To his left,
Bryce Armstrong.
To his left,
Andrew McKinley.
It's good to be back. We are on the final part of our gospel series. But first, let's go around the horn like we normally do. See how everybody's doing. Andrew.
Around the Whoa. I don't like this.
Oh, boy.
You went the wrong way.
You're the same. I have the same number.
You took it completely ineffective.
Oh, so you're not affected at all. The only one guy got hosed was Andrew.
I understand that.
No worries. You're not affected, and I'm not affected.
This is true. All right. So my week has been pretty good. We did our home study, and that went really well. And so for Brittany, a lot of things like that where you were stressed out about all have been taken care of. And so now we're good. And so with her burden lifted, mine's lifted too, because I just feel for her. But like, yeah, work is crazy. I don't know if I'm allowed to say like where I work or not. Can we mention company names?
That's up to you.
Okay. All right. So I work at Hobby Lobby and it's almost Christmas. So nuts.
I love Christmas.
Part of me wants to say y'all need to stop shopping, but the part is like, it's good for business. So
I was going to say, isn't the reason you have a job?
I know. I do appreciate your patronage, but
don't worry. I'll keep spending money there.
Yes.
Well, my wife will.
Yeah, yeah.
That's I'll come there a couple times.
It's all wife money.
You went last night.
What tonight?
That's that was, the first time in prep.
That was his first one to this year. Like,
oh, wow.
I did not come that.
I've been checking.
Oh, that's weird.
Check the receipts. Check the receipts.
But that, and all that to say that, yeah, I've had a pretty good week.
Awesome.
And it's great to be back with you guys.
Praise the Lord.
This is.
Hallelujah. As Medea would say, it's Medea.
I am doing pretty stinking good. And Andrew is opening the.
Square in the face while he eats it.
He's not breaking contact.
I'm paying attention. I'm an active listener.
In an active chew.
And apparently a sympathetic eater.
Oh, do you just feel bad for me?
No.
Oh, oh my gosh. Okay. Anyway, I have had a pretty good week. Work has been insane. We're launching a new product.
I shouldn't say we're launching a new product. We're switching to a different product.
To the school 2.0.
Homeschool?
We're doing
college completely.
For those of you that don't know, I work at a college.
A certain college in town.
A certain college.
There's three of them.
The rumor is it's an information technology. Is that true?
Information services, but yes.
He's definitely not a teacher.
True.
Definitely not a teacher. And though I got asked the other day if I was a professor.
Do it.
I also got asked if I was on the volleyball team, which
We don't have profiles. That's a stark contrast.
Physique of a male volleyballer.
I didn't even know we had a male volleyball team until like last
No.
week. But anyway, it is a lot of work. I'm in charge of the project and it's a lot. It's a huge program and it's controlling most of what we do on campus for all of our Apple products. And it's nuts. So it's stressful, but it's awesome. And I got to get as much done before this baby comes. So
do it.
Yep.
For all our new listeners, Bryce's life is expecting. I still don't know what baby we're talking about.
I said today at work, it's like, I think I might be having a baby soon. My coworker's like, you are not having a baby. Your wife is having
You're a baby. Barely showing.
Yeah. Was that a good banana?
It was delicious.
Oh, good.
It was scrumptious.
Hey, Brett, how are you?
Hi, Brett. How are you?
I am also well. Thank you.
Time for my second banana.
Yeah. What else you got? What else you got that knapsack, bro? To describe this, seeing how it's radio, not television.
Yes.
Bryce has lost coffee and it's hemorrhaging from orifices that Brett personally went from. And we might be killing him. I don't know.
I'm good. I'm good. I took a long time to swallow that.
Oh, I didn't think he was going to make it.
I wish I had another banana.
I don't know. Good thing I got one here. Well, to keep it light, life's been good. It's been good for a while. The Lord is good. We continue to, you know, I would say to be more serious, one thing that we've just noticed in the last couple of weeks is just we're parents, my wife and I, we have four kids and they're all 10 and under. And we found that there's some weeds of disobedience that have kind of cropped up. So we're kind of putting the full court press on, you know, obedience and raising our kids to honor their parents, which honors the Lord. And so I think we've been a little lax in that. So we're kind of rooting out some of that. So that's personally what's been on my mind a lot is how can we better shepherd our children and help them to live in a way that honors God. So that's probably the bulk of what I've been doing all week.
Can we have that conversation later?
We can talk about whatever you want.
Okay.
Because if you want to know how bad I am at it, I got it.
I feel like we're all bad at it in a sense.
Me especially.
You're great.
You're great.
You're pretty cool.
I'm a decent uncle.
No, you're a great uncle. My kids love.
No, he's an uncle. He's an uncle.
Yeah, I'm not like
you're a grunkle.
He's not that.
I'm not,
he's
their not grandpa's a, brother. So.
I got a friend that calls me his kid's uncle, and we're not related. I think it's the highest compliment you can get.
True.
Agreed.
I think it is. I mean, I really appreciate it when he does it. Brandon, what's happening?
Not too much. I've been more battling with sleepiness, but I've got a lot stewing in my brain on this particular podcast kind of stuff.
This topic?
No. Like a podcast as a whole and what the vision.
Are you quitting?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm not quitting.
He found real co-hosts.
No, I found the best co-hosts I can find. And parenting, just trying to learn how to shepherd my boys more.
That's awesome.
And all that and point them to Jesus. I'm looking into like setting like a rule of life, but we can talk about that some other time. That's a pretty big topic.
Mm-hmm.
But, you should watch the movie Courageous.
You can be courageous. I can't say.
Shoot.
Okay, where are we going from here?
I'm hurting. All right, let's move.
Yeah, where are we?
Traditionally, after three podcasts, though. Well, two, maybe. I don't know. Something. But we're going to talk about something weird.
Okay.
I like weird.
Because we like to just go off of whatever. But this is an article.
Talk about me.
Yeah. This is an article called 7 Awesome Church Name Ideas. So the first one that they put as an example is Holy Grounds Coffee Shop and Tavern.
This is a church name?
Like these are made up.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the name of a church.
No, it's not legit.
I would love to have a church with like a pub and call it the Tabernacle. No one's going to steal my idea because I'm going to do that. I'm going to have a
copyright.
I promise you, no one's stealing.
That's not true.
Microbrewery, gastro pub, and church all in one.
You can also have, what do you want? A kombucha bar?
That's all you
kombucha
want.
Bar. Oh,
that's all I've ever wanted.
Brew everything.
I want like a coffee, like we have coffee bars at churches. I want a kombucha bar.
I don't like kombucha that much.
I do.
I like it.
I love kombucha.
I like it.
Oh, I like it for free.
Yeah.
It's free. Like
for it's free? It's probably the non-flavored one. Is there a mother in here?
As long as Bryce.
It's called a scoby.
Bryce
can get his hand on all those juicy
I think it'll be.
I'll get a big old. I say juicy.
Juicy scoby. take a big old bite out of that.
Do churches that have
it's so moist?
do churches that have coffee shops charge for coffee?
I've never been to one. No.
Okay.
Literally not.
That's not true. I went to one in Arizona. It was massive, and they had a free one, and then they had one you could purchase, and there was a very distinct difference.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Drip coffee versus French bread.
By the way, these are not serious names, so don't take them serious.
Well,
are you still on one?
Yeah. Anyways,
seven.
Number two, they'll go back fast. Number two, Journey Life Vision Hope Community Church.
That's a good one.
I feel like they're missing something.
Love.
Grace.
Love is love.
I don't know what. It's just
love is love.
Number three, the Burning Metal Foundry.
I feel like
macho manliness.
I feel like that's one that you would name.
I probably would.
Yeah.
Number four, Jiffy Church.
Is it like Jiffy Lube?
Hold on.
Oh.
We'll have you out of here in 15 minutes or less. That's great. That's really clever.
That's fun.
I love it. Number five, any Greek word at all plus fellowship.
Alpha Fellowship.
Alpha Fellowship.
Hibestus Fellowship. That way, idolatry. Wait a minute.
I missed.
Darn it.
Or he is the god of the forge, so we can go back to the being.
Whoa.
Mold on.
Foundry Church.
That's a good one.
Oh,
boy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to save number six for last, so I'm going to jump to seven. Number seven, the church that's all about you.
I want everybody to exist.
That's true.
Number six, which is technically number seven now.
I'm confused.
You know,
numbers doesn't matter.
Ready for it? Born ready. Mars Hill Church. But I'm only saying this because when you go down to the bottom of a podcast and they have the suggested list, the only one that they suggest the listening to that's not us is The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill.
Which is odd because I don't know how you make that
really
connection.
Yeah, it's odd. Yeah, we have 5 stars. So whoever's liking our stuff, thank you for
liking our stuff.
You don't have to like it. We just only expect 5-star reviews.
No, I'm saying we want
5 stars and then roast us.
That's one of the greatest things that you can do to share our podcast if you want to, is liking us so more people can see it.
Also, Brandon's been putting in the comments interactive questions. So if you want to answer those questions, that's fun too.
They're very wild.
They are
not at all.
One of these days,
they're pretty plain.
You need to do a mailbag.
How do you smell color?
I think it was one of the questions.
Mm.
No, but on a serious note, if we get any mail, we'll answer.
Yes, we will. We will answer. There's the Anchor app. If you listen to us on Anchor, you can send in voice memos as well, and we'll play them here.
That's almost
crazy. Can we do
that? We can do that.
Oh, yeah. Dang.
Yeah. This is
nuts.
I have software that does that.
Here I am thinking we're just four dudes around a table.
Yeah. There's people there.
Apparently on the internet.
All right.
Access to the entire
world.
Ready.
Let's do this.
Ready.
So today we are on the final point, which is the gospel and what we do with it. So this is going to be a big, we'll say, evangelism kind of podcast and say, like, how are we going to live the gospel in our lives and share it with others, which is important because we talked about what it is. We talked about what it isn't. And now we have to talk about what action steps that we take as people, the way of Jesus, and how we get that out to others.
This might be probably one of the hard parts.
With some gospel.
Mm-hmm. Brett Mahomey.
Yeah, well, I'll give you the first one, the first text that we're going to read this evening, and it's from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. We'll start in verse 16. This is commonly called the Great Commission. Jesus has just been resurrected, and he is speaking to his disciples, and he says this, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him there, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'"
That's good.
I'm going to read Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth."
We make the gospel our lives.
Yeah.
Right? What does that mean to you guys? Brett?
What does it mean to me?
Yeah. What does it mean by making the gospel your life? Like, what when you hear that
phrase,
yeah, what does that mean to you?
To me, it means that the gospel is for my whole life and for all of my life. So it's for my salvation. It's for the salvation of all those around me. It's also the power unto salvation. So when I hear
the Holy Spirit will give us power and we'll be witnesses. So the Holy Spirit empowers us. He gives us the ability, and then he gives us the ability to be witnesses, to be sent out, which is a big deal. I mean, it's the message of the gospel is to go and take it to the nations and make disciples.
What do you think, Bryce?
Absolutely. Yeah. Brett needs to go last on these things. He takes all of the answers.
I know.
On all the good stuff. Sorry. No, my entire life needs to focus and revolve around Christ, and therefore be able to act out and be the gospel to people. Without the gospel, it's so difficult to explain who Christ is. Might talk about this later, but most of the department that I work in is mostly Christians, and we have some interesting conversations. We have some different viewpoints on how the gospel should be presented, but at the core of it, everyone pretty much agrees, you know, people need the gospel. People need to hear about Jesus.
Andrew?
I feel like our life should be infused with this. It's just not just something where, you know, every relationship we have can be something where we're sharing the gospel. If it's with believers, then it's to encourage. If it's with non-believers, then it's to try and draw them to God, to be a part of his saving process in their lives. And I think we need to preach the gospel to ourselves, just again, as an encouragement, a way to grow. It should be in some way or another, just part of our waking moments. And yeah, I just think that, like I said, it's something that should just be infused to our life.
Yeah. I think back in the early days of the church, a lot of times, obviously, meeting together as Christians was highly illegal. A lot of the times these Christians would invite their non-Christian friends to the services, because if they were changed, they would go tell like the magistrates and stuff, they'd get shut down or killed and all that. And so a lot of it came from these Christians living opposite lives of, say, the Roman Empire. So like saying, why are you faithful to just your wife? Like that was a thing, because in Rome, anything went when it came to like relationships and like sexuality and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why are you only committing yourself to one person, to your wife? Or why are you handling your money in this certain way? Because all these things were different. That's why I think Rome found Christianity to be such a threat, because it was opposing the God, which was Rome,
and everything that they believed in.
Mm-hmm. It was so opposite, right. But it's so free. And I think like people should just see a difference in us. Like we shouldn't look or act or talk like the world. Mm. And that means people are like, why don't you cuss? Or why don't you joke pervertedly? Or why do you not listen to certain things or watch certain things? Right. And it starts to become like now it's like, well, why aren't you hyper political and all that too? Right. Which we shouldn't be.
Why haven't you picked a side?
Yeah. Why are you not like shaming everybody on social media? Mm-hmm. Why do you choose to love everyone despite all of that?
Right.
You know? That's just God molding us into his image. And we want to be like good presenters of Jesus and represent him well. And that has to encompass every part of our life. Has to be the center thing that we think about and that we live out. Who's next? Who's doing Matthew 28:19?
I got a song.
Oh, do it. Oh, yeah, you do. Sorry.
How dare you?
Sorry, but I overlooked. I overstepped my...
That's okay.
That's fine.
You're forgiven.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to read Psalm 89, verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you.
So I look at that verse. And I just got done doing a course on the Samuels, and a big theme was that God, he did justice and he was righteous. And I think these two, at least in our time, these two things need to mold our lives. And we need to live that out. We need to be righteous, and we be constantly asking God to sanctify us and make us like him. And we need to do justice. Brett, if you have something.
No, I don't. I was just turning my Bible page as quietly as possible.
Okay.
No, but I like the Bible page.
Okay, well, that'll be in there.
Romans 10:14-15. It says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. Anyone want to add on? I think I talk a lot.
That's true, but
I know. I just want to hear your guys' opinions, because I haven't, because I think that is a beautiful thing, that the gospel is beautiful and it changes lives. Mm-hmm. and we have the answer to like the worst, say, pandemic, in theory, it's like sin. Sin is the worst sickness that anyone can have.
Absolutely. And it's,
you know, and we have that,
and
we have
Rona yet.
And we have the
good. I got plenty of sin.
You got plenty of sin. I think sin is worse.
I got sin for days.
But we have such good news.
Yeah. I love that last part where it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Feet are rarely called beautiful. So that wording is super interesting to me. I don't know if we really even need to get into that aspect, but the fact that we are preaching the good news and therefore the dirtiest part of our body is called beautiful because of preaching the good news.
Especially in context of when this was written.
Also, yeah, they have nasty
feet. Yeah.
I got nasty feet.
And it's interesting that feet take you places.
They do.
So that means there's an action step to that. Yeah.
It was an old story I used to hear in like Sunday school or somewhere, that like this missionary went to a village and they knock out, like they attack anybody who visits that doesn't look like them, and he gets attacked, but then like he wakes up and like he's the first person to ever survive visiting this village, and he was wondering why, and they're like, well, we attacked you, but then we saw the bottoms of your feet and we saw you were a holy man, so go ahead and share what you have to say, kind of a thing. I don't know how real that story is. I just remember that, like,
it's a nice parable, at least.
Yeah. The Great Commission is to go make disciples. And I think that's kind of what they're hitting at.
What I like about tying Romans 10 in with Matthew 28. So Romans 10 is the preaching of the gospel, going and hearing, then sending someone to do and speak the good news. But then we see that Matthew 28 says that we're creating disciples. So these people that are going aren't just going to make decisions, but they're going to teach these people about all that Jesus has said, right? That's what Jesus says in verse 18. Mm-hmm. All authority has been given to me. Go and make disciples, teaching them all that I have commanded you. So the act of preaching the gospel is more than just getting them to a point to make a decision or put their faith in Christ. But that's really just like the door jam. Like, you walk through that and the rest of your life is growing deeper in knowledge and understanding of the commandments of God and what Jesus has said. So really, the go is the beginning, which is, I think, fascinating. I think that's the part that gets missed a lot, is the going and the decision is important, but the staying and lingering and living is paramount. I mean, without it, it's not the picture that Jesus tells us to go into.
Yeah,
for sure. You know, we have 5 points on how we go, what aspects that we should take with us when we go and we present the gospel to people. The first one is love. Bryce, have this one.
Yes, I do. Romans 5:5, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Holy Spirit's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And if God's love is abounding for us and in us, we take that to people that, I mean, we see how our culture is.
Mm-hmm.
There's two sides. There's multiple sides, and they all hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
And coming in with love, like genuine loves, like no expectations, no pyramid scheme on here's how you get to Jesus, and here's how you get up 3 other people to Jesus, and like all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, we go with love, like genuine love for like, hey, I love, like, I want you to feel what I have, and I want you to see what I like, like how life-changing God is.
Yeah, love is such an interesting thing, especially for people that, yes, I love my wife and I love my kids and my family and I love all aspects of everyone that I'm around, but to go out and love people that I know nothing about and usually would never be around is such an interesting thought, and it is so contrary to everything that this world teaches us to do.
Yeah,
it teaches us to be selfish. It teaches us to be the best us and do the best thing for us and for our families, and to love us. And we're called to love people, and we love them by sharing the gospel with them.
Mm-hmm. I think we love them also by being invitational with them, being approachable, not throwing off a projection of what, say, American Christianity would be. It's like being genuine vessels of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, people have deconstructed so much in the last, well, I think the big thing was like 5 years, 5, 10 years, we'll say, it's deconstructionism. And man, it's just, it's heartbreaking, you know, because it's like, well, that's because it's not genuine. It wasn't genuine, like self-sacrificing love for your neighbor or strangers, you know, and it's so much deeper than just what we've grown to know.
It's a supernatural love, right? Because mm-hmm. it says God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the one holding the cup and pouring it in. I mean, that's supernatural, right?
Yeah.
That's a big deal. I mean, that's the kind of love like you were talking about. We can't fake that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's genuine.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think the beef with American Christianity is if we only live Romans 10 and we're making decisions, but we're not living Romans or Matthew 28, we're making disciples, it's not real love.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be a downer, and we can edit this out if you want, but 98% of all of the people that ever went down front at a Billy Graham crusade could not be found in a local church a year later. 98%. That's a big deal. I mean,
that's a lot.
I mean, now the 2% of like millions is still a great number.
That's still a lot.
Praise the Lord for Billy Graham.
Yeah.
Yes.
All I'm saying, and they would say at a Billy Graham crusade, you need to plug into a local church. Yeah. You need to keep going. So they did their part. But all I'm saying is if we live Romans 10 without living Matthew 28, we don't get supernatural. Then that's where you get deconstruction, because the Holy Spirit wasn't pouring love into their heart because they made a decision or because they acted a certain way.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, those are crazy facts.
Well, 98% of all stats are made up on the spot, so we'll see how much.
Now I want to fact check this.
Yeah, you will.
It's
brutal.
No, it's like,
if it's that bad, fix it.
That's true, though. Especially because, so I've grown up thinking like the sinner's prayer kind of way.
Oh.
Right?
I have so much.
I know.
You go on.
You go on.
And
you go on, but I have so much to say about that.
But I found it to be so empty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not biblical. It's never mentioned in the Bible. So it's like, it's always God coming to our heart, like changing our hearts. But it's like, that's not love either.
No.
What's a hollow say, like, with every head bowed, every eye closed, raise your hand. And then no one raises. Oh, there's so many.
I see one, a two.
No. But if there's never real, like, regeneration and heart change, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's consumerism. You just want to feel good.
It's 100%.
It goes back to like confession. It goes back confessing to a priest. I sinned this week, but I fully intend on going back out and doing the same thing. But I need to come in here and kind of feel like I've been saved. Quotes.
Those were air quotes there.
Those are air quotes.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not saved. Especially if it's just a, like I said, if it's a consumer kind of Christianity, there's never fruits. So there is no love. It's just about you. It's selfish.
Right.
Well, if we drive the ship, like I'm thinking, what you're saying there, I'm thinking of Titus 3:5. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, like making a decision or saying a prayer, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration. You said that word, regeneration, and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So God has to regenerate us and renew us with the Spirit so that he can save us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because any way you cut it, saying the sinner's prayer is a gateway. I mean, you run the risk of making it a works-based righteousness.
Yeah. Well, no matter works, like we said before, our faith produces works.
Right.
Right.
And then the second point is boldness.
Boldness. I got that one.
Yes, you do.
So the verse that we pulled was Acts 4:29, so because it's Acts is a narrative, a little bit more context. So Acts 4 is Peter and John before the Sanhedrin, which is a Jewish council. So they basically, in Acts 3, they went out and were in the temple, and they actually healed somebody on the Sabbath, much like Jesus had done. And so they bring him before this court, and we see that Peter says in verse 8 that he is filled with the Holy Spirit. He says to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if you are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you, to all people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you." And then this is the gospel. Verse 11, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So Peter has this boldness. And basically the rest of chapter 4 is them saying, well, or we don't really know what to do with these guys. So they're basically like, hey, you know, stop it. And so in verse 20, they say, "We cannot help but speak of what we have seen and heard." So they basically say, stop it. And they say, no. And then what's crazy is they go and see their friends in verse 23. And this is what's interesting. So the Holy Spirit gives Peter these words, and then they go to their friends and they say, their friends reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together and prayed, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of your servant David said by the Holy Spirit, why do they rage? The king and the earth set themselves." They pray and they pray. Verse 27 says, "For truly in this city there were gathered together against you your holy servant Jesus. Your plan was predestined to take place," it says in verse 28. And then verse 29, it says, "Now the Lord look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they had gathered together had shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. What I've noticed as we've, you pulled, and so Brandon pulled all these texts and gave us some direction, as he usually does. And I'm assuming he saw it, but what's crazy is we're seeing the Spirit, aren't we? Yeah. I mean, what we're seeing in all of these texts is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Acts, yep. Romans 5, the Holy Spirit poured God's love in our hearts. Here, this boldness is directly tied to being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's in verse 31. So they're filled with the Spirit and they continue with boldness. So if we want boldness, if we desire to be bold with the gospel, what we need is the Spirit. Mm-hmm. We need the Holy Spirit to move and fill us and cause us to walk. And really, it's interesting. You know, God has the plan, Christ does the work, and then the Holy Spirit does the enabling. Yeah. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us boldness and love. And so, you know, we're Spirit guys. We just know that the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us the experiential aspect of our faith.
Yeah.
Right? The Holy Spirit is the one who dwells with us. And obviously there's this filling of the Holy Spirit. It's not a baptism. It's not a special thing. It was a requested thing, right? Mm-hmm. They just said, "Lord, they were bold. Give us more boldness."
Yeah.
And they do it. And the Holy Spirit does it. So they didn't have to muscle their way into more boldness, which I think is helpful as somebody that's not naturally bold.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not naturally bold at all.
Same.
If there's any boldness, especially about spiritual things, it's because of the Holy Spirit. And I find that freeing liberating to be like, okay, I don't have to bring the boldness because I don't have it.
Yeah.
It is. Think of it. Like, if Jesus emphasized, "I'm going to leave, I'm going to go,
yep,
but I am sending you the Holy Spirit." If he emphasized that, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
If he's like, "Then you're going to do great things
right
with the Holy Spirit."
He will give you power. The Holy Spirit gives you power.
Which they're all tied together, obviously. Mm-hmm. But when he emphasized, "The Holy Spirit is going to give you power to do great things in my name."
Right.
And that could just be discipling your kids or your wife.
You need power for that.
You need power for
that. Amen.
You need power to be a really good coworker or a good friend or brother or sister or son to your parents.
Mm-hmm.
To forgive when you feel like they've wronged you, or like to forgive anyone if they've wronged you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need the Holy Spirit. And it's hard. It's hard because it's intimidating to go and want to share the gospel, especially with the environment that we're in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But man, if you go with the Holy Spirit, you'll just put the words just gonna come right out. If you're like, "God, like, Holy Spirit, give me an opportunity to share this good news,"
mm-hmm,
to people that whoever needs to hear it. Man, if you ask him, he's gonna do it. He'll do it for you.
Such an amazing thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we take it for granted. Cause it's like, how can I do it? You can't.
Yeah, you're not doing it.
You're never doing it.
It's the root of like all worry.
Yeah.
Times that you forget that he's doing it.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, how am I going to do this? And I think this ties into the fearlessness of going,
mm-hmm,
which is Romans 8:15-17. And it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." There's a chance you're going to suffer for being bold and going fearlessly. We might not see it as physical suffering, but it could mean that we don't get the promotion that we want in a job, or it could be we'll be mocked and made fun of. We won't be taken seriously by people of the world.
Yeah.
And then it could be suffering.
Or if you're a people pleaser, they don't like
you. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
they don't like
you. But it could.
Who would do that?
What? But it could come to the point where we physically suffer and we have to wrap our heads. Like, you know, when it says to take up your cross and follow me, that, like, the cross was a provocative word back in the context of when the gospels were written, because the cross meant humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
Death by humiliation,
Guilt. You were guilty.
You're guilty.
Of something.
You're shaming your family and all the people around you. And that's like, we're just like, take up your cross and be the coolest guy because you're going out and doing all this awesome stuff in your own name. But it's not about that. It's about dying to yourself and loving your enemies and taking the gospel to where no one else will do it. Yeah. That means being uncomfortable. That means being that we have to be like, I'm going to talk to people that I would never talk to. That means you don't talk to people that look like you or talk like you or do the things that you do, because God loves everybody. He wants all people to come to him. We're the ones that take it out. We have to present it. We have to be the ones that are just actively going. And I've had years of doing it, and it's still nerve-wracking.
Yeah, so why we gave you fearlessness.
That's legitimately the conversation we had.
Yeah.
No, like it, and I'd like to go around, and it doesn't have to be a very long-winded kind of thing, but like, do you have, like, what is there a time that you felt like the Spirit guided you to present the gospel to someone?
And did it or didn't do it?
Either way. We can talk positive, but I think, like, what do you think enables you to do so, to take the gospel? And what disables you? I'm curious.
Can you go first?
Yeah, I don't have to, but you can if you want.
So I would say what disables me is, I think, what everybody would say. I mean, just the fear of man, the fear of losing any social capital I might have with somebody. I think I spend so much, personally, I spend so much of my time trying to build bridges, and then I get so worried about burning those bridges down once the moment comes to present the gospel. It's like, what have I been doing this for? I mean, I'm here. I say I'm building these bridges so that I can, have a testimony, have a life that people want to ask about. And then I trip at the finish line. I'm like, well, I don't want to burn it up. I don't want to burn it down now. I think I'm a good dude. So, I mean, I get into circular reasoning pretty quick. You know, what does enable me is, in my better moments, is being able to say, and God's been very gracious to me in my evangelism, in that he's given me multiple times through work and through other places where I've just lived in a certain way, where people have asked me about it. And when they ask you about it, that to me becomes a very easy, if they're asking me to say, hey, why are you the way you are? Or why are you doing whatever you're doing? That is an easy conversation. And I found that that's been my favorite way to do it. And then you feel the Spirit move. You just know, the words come and it happens.
Yeah.
Now Jesus said, I think in John, he said, don't be worried about what to say. When the time comes, the Holy Spirit will give you words.
Mm-hmm. And right.
I've always found that to be true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And no one's ever stopped me in the middle and been like, dude, you're doing this wrong.
Yeah.
This is totally not how you present the gospel. Yeah. They don't know.
I don't know. Because I think we try to make 5-step programs on how you evangelize. But I think it's a lot easier than that. Do you have any examples, Bryce?
Yeah. Disabling is I fear people. Mm-hmm. Same as Brett. I don't want to be disliked. I don't. Once I've gained that capital, I want to maintain that relationship. And like Brett, in my better moments, I feel the move of the Holy Spirit just come upon me. I would like to say that I follow what he's guiding me to say. I mean, an example in my last job is that I was able to present the gospel to a coworker. I mean, her husband was on his deathbed, fortunately ended up not dying, but was able to like explain death and what's happening after life. And after all of this, like, what happens if your husband does die? And so I was able to present the gospel to her in a really real way. And she received it pretty well, which was crazy because she probably doesn't live the way we live.
Yeah.
So it's super interesting. But yeah, I'd like to say that that's what happens in my better moments.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I think we go back up to the love. When we approach people with love, the fearlessness is like there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We lead that way.
Yep.
Andrew Machinley.
I feel like I need to shave my beard off. The Machin. I'll tell you what, I have an interesting past of like opportunities where like drunk people have come up and asked me about the Bible. That seemed to be the thing. It really does. Like most of my opportunity to share the gospel where I've actually taken hold of it has been when I'm hanging out with bad kids and being like fun without doing what they're doing kind of a thing. Not to say like, that sounds really legalistic, but yeah, like when I was like late teens, early 20s, hanging out, just like it might have been a party where everyone was just completely over the moon with shots, and I'm the driver that night, but I'm not bored or looking depressed, and they're used to the driver looking bored or depressed and getting to talk there. And then make sure you follow up if you're sharing the gospel with a drug person, because they might not remember.
That's just a good tip.
Yeah. You know, try to bring that back up soon. I will say that I think that that also gave me a little bit of freedom, because when they're not thinking straight, I'm like, maybe if I screw this up and they don't remember, we can just forget about it too.
Yeah.
But I will say that, yeah, that, so I think that part of that was my own limitation, trying to get in the way, Satan trying to get in the way through me.
Yeah.
But I think that it had more to do with just me being, like we said earlier, just being genuine, just being there, having a good time, being sociable, personable, and then being able to just conversationally, you know, talk about the word, talk about what eternity looks like, talk about a God who he doesn't give us an option to like earn our way in, but because, you know, no one is good enough for it, but then he made a way anyway.
Yeah.
And I think that to be able to talk about that without getting preachy, I guess, has always been my way in. So like when we would watch Way of the Master videos in youth group, I'd be like, that is not how it works for me. I tried that, and that was always a crash and burn anytime I tried. It's probably when I was faking the Australian accent that made it.
I think the word I think of is, at least with that example, is availability. Like, you're there, you're available, which we have to be, you know, even if it's inconvenient.
You know? A big part of compassion is just someone to talk to.
Yeah.
Having ears is like a big deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is. I think examples, what disables me is over the years I've noticed I put my own foot in my mouth and I say the wrong things, or I say it the wrong way, and I have to go back and like re-explain what I'm saying. So I'm always self-conscious. I'm like, I'm going to say something heretical and I'm not going to mean to say it or whatever. And I just get kind of nervous in the moment, but when it starts to go, I'm there. Like I'm not there. The spirit's there. I don't want to say me, but it's like, it flows better. I've had years of just talking to people about it, but I sucked at it at first too. I failed a lot, but I had a lot of people like call me stupid or whatever, or shame me and be like, no, that's not true, or I don't want to hear it. I do remember, I think when I was maybe 15 or 16, we would walk downtown Sioux City a lot, and we tried to talk to this random guy, and he's just like, I don't want to hear this. Like, whatever you have to sell. I'm like, we're just talking about guys. Like, I definitely don't want to hear about it. I was like, all right. And it was over. But then you go down the block and you have a different experience. But I see that how depraved I was and how God was like just restored me or made me new. He made me a new person. For me, I just don't understand why you wouldn't share that. In a hopeless world, which we live, it seems like everyone has no hope. Jesus brings hope and like real sustaining hope. And then we go with power.
I'm back up. So Ephesians 3, and it's 14 through 21. I will read it quickly. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We'll stop there. But we see there that the strength, we're strengthened with power through, again, his Spirit, his Holy Spirit on our inside, and for the reason being so that, verse 17, Christ may dwell in your hearts. Isn't that interesting? You're strengthened by the power of the Spirit so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And then it roots you in what? The stuff we've already talked about, being grounded in love, having the strength to comprehend with all the saints, the length, the breadth, the width, the height, to know the love of Christ. So what do we want to know more of? The love of Christ. So again, to your point about, if we've been changed, if we've been loved by God, and we want to tell these people, what are we telling them? That you're going to spend the rest of your life learning how deep and how wide and how long and how rich it is to know the surpassing knowledge of the love of Christ.
Yes.
That you may be filled with all the fullness of it. Who doesn't want to be? I mean, be filled with the fullness of God. I mean, that's just crazy stuff.
Sounds amazing.
I know. And it's so crazy. He breaks off into a, basically like a benediction or like a doxology. He just says in 20, Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we are able to ask or to think, according to the power at work within us, that spirit, the power of the full work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. It's so good. Paul's like, dude, we got to sing. We're going to sing about this. This is so good.
Yeah.
And it's power. Power comes by the spirit.
Yes, it does.
And but it's to do something. It's not to have power.
Yeah.
It's to cause you to draw nearer to Christ and to experience more of his love. So, I mean, you're talking about what the fuel to evangelize, having that and then wanting to give that.
Yes.
I mean, I know for me, that's the key. It's like remembering what I have, because you can't give something you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't remember it, I mean, you have it because the Bible promises it, but we're forgetful, forget stuff.
Yeah.
We don't think about how good it is to be who we are, but to have what we have.
Let me pull this quote up. Yeah. So the last sermon that John Mark Comer did at Bridgetown was titled this: Live in a Way That Begs the Question. You know, I want you to think about that. Like, live in a way that begs the question. This is coming from like being a child of God and a follower of Jesus. That power is going to like make people ask, well, why, what's going on? You know, I think this is good. Live in a way that begs the question.
I'm still processing the idea of being filled with the fullness of God, not being lethal to us.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
If we can't even gaze on his glory without melting or whatever goes on, whatever happens to you, the idea of being filled with his power, like in any way, any semblance of that, just, I can't comprehend that.
Yeah.
It's a good thing we don't have to be able to comprehend it to go through it. Like, that's good.
Yeah. That kind of calls back to verse 20 from Ephesians 3. Now to him that is able to do far more abundantly than that we can ask and think, can comprehend, like a God entering a vessel. But he can do it because he's all powerful. And whatever he wills, it will be done.
And not to like proactively dunk on something that maybe no one's thinking about. But when I think about just the absolute pandemic of like reading verses out of context, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, how often do you hear that as like, he's going to answer all your prayers?
Oh, give
you
gosh.
Once.
All the time.
And what we should want is the fullness of God.
Yeah.
The love, the surpassing knowledge of knowing the love of Christ, being powered by the Holy Spirit. It's not about living a life that is abundant with material goods or whatever, or perfect health. It's living in a life that is so near to God that we're being filled with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that is something worth singing about.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, not the idea of, well, I just want God to do more for me so I can have more stuff and I can appease my wandering heart more. But so now, whether we're in darkness or trial, now it's like, I get it. I get why I can struggle and still be near to God, because he's giving me his fullness.
Yeah. Live in a way that begs the question. I'm like, why are you different? That means when we have that kind of power and we have that kind of motivation to go, that means we're changing our lives, or we're lining them up with the ways of Jesus and what he did and how he lived and what he preached. That we take the manifesto of the Sermon on the Mount, that we mold that to our lives, and we live in those, the ways that Jesus directed us to live. And that's power. Like, that's power. There's no other way that we could do it. We could not do it on our own, because we would just screw it up. We'd burn it to the ground. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, God is able to manifest these things into being, and changing our, because there's no way, like, he's the only one that can change our minds and the way we think and the way we act.
Yep.
And the way we do things.
And that's sanctification.
Yeah. It's good. You know, he is good. He's far more abundantly good.
Mm.
And we get to be participants in that.
We get to be worshipers of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because everyone's worshiping something. Everyone's being formed into something.
Mm-hmm.
But we're being formed into the image of the Almighty. I feel like, I feel emotional about it.
It's like what you ate earlier. It's bananas.
I'm just kind of like awestruck on just that. But that power.
That's a good way to be about it.
Yeah. Well, you just think, you're like, man, I keep trying to do this on my own. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. And our final point is wisdom and opportunity. Andrew.
So we'll start with the Colossians 4. Starting in verse 2, we see Paul in prison with some of his companions. And so he took the opportunity to write. So starting in verse 2.
Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. That's what we were talking about before. It's about being approachable. It's about making yourself available. It's the opportunity there. I think Dr. Piper would say, don't waste your imprisonment.
You should. That's
Paul is going through right now. He's using this opportunity. I mean, you know that every guard at that prison has heard the gospel by the time he started to write these letters.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
That they are seeing these model prisoners, probably these guys that are, you know, following the rules, not causing trouble. And being a blessing to their guards. And they're gonna see some change. And he did so again by being, how did he say it? Gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. So taking the time to get to know people, taking the time to build relationships. That's relational ministry. This is what he's working through. And I think that the wisdom comes from prayer. I think that that's what he's asking for the church at Colossae, is that they pray to be given the wisdom to minister to the people around them. And they found the opportunities.
For sure. You got some. Well, I was just going to say, I mean, you were talking about Paul being a model prisoner. I mean, there's an example of it in Acts 16 where they get locked up, and it says here that they, verse 23, when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them in prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Verse 25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I mean, so when you said it, I'm like, we know exactly what that looked like. Taking beatings, singing praises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always like the imagery of the, like, seasoned with salt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gospel is, like,
gotta have some bite. Everything.
It tastes good.
Yeah. And it's also got to have some seasoning, right?
It doesn't mean don't be salty.
Yeah. That's good.
Don't have sass, but it's okay to be interesting.
Yeah.
Provocative.
You know? Yeah.
That's a good word. I think that's something to think about. Like, don't be salty. Like, what does it mean? Like, what does Paul mean when he says seasoned with salt? Like, I think that's a really good tip about Bible reading. Like, don't read your context into the, right? Because we'd read that and say, well, yeah, we're salty. But then what does that mean? It means be meek and don't say anything. I mean, don't tell these guys how to live.
We're the salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to being genuine.
Light of the world. Matthew 5.
If you're just being you, there's going to be something that people are interested in.
Yeah.
Right.
It's be genuine. Just be yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't try to be molded into the image of the world
or the
American church.
There's a dear brother that we go to church with. His name is Dick. He always used to say, he still says it, but I mean, I've heard him say it in the wild. He said, what I want to do at work is just fly the flag. Like, I want people to know where I stand and who I am. Yeah. I think that's like your speech is being seasoned with salt. You're not beating them over the head with it. You're not being salty,
right.
But you're just like, you know who I am. You know what I'm about. You know how I'm going to talk. You know how I'm going to act. You don't have to question it.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of seasoned with salt. Speaking enough in a way for people to say, there's something going on there.
Yeah,
that's an amazing thing to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, seeing him live his life makes so much sense.
Yeah.
In the wild,
isn't that
in the wild? That's what we're in, though.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, he's in business for himself, right? I mean, he is in the wild. He's all out. His name's all over the place.
Yeah,
his name's all over this town.
It is.
It really is.
But no, that's kind of a good thing that we should do. You know, I've been thinking this outsider's model of living. And that's a perfect way to model it.
Mm-hmm.
Is taking the flag and going, because we are at war.
Mm-hmm.
We're at war for souls,
mm-hmm.
You know, we're at war against the prince of darkness, father of lies, the ruler of the air. What more of a threat would it be to his reign on this world if we just said, we don't care what's coming at us, what the cost is going to be, but we're going to represent Jesus best that we know how.
Yeah.
And that's living this, I'd say hiding these words in our hearts. So like when temptation tries to come at us, we know how to battle it. We know how to combat it.
Or depression or anxiety or.
Yes. Imagine if we came to people that were dealing with depression and anxiety and we had answers for them that weren't like psychology, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to bash down on like psychologists and counselors, because I think there's a road for that as well. Sometimes we need to hear an outside source, you know? Mm-hmm. But obviously I would suggest getting a counselor.
Yeah. I've loved listening to Brett talk about the anxiety side of things, but that could be a totally different podcast.
Definitely cool.
Yeah. I would love to have that conversation, but
I'm a little anxious right now.
I'm like crazy anxious right now. And it's probably because I drink coffee super late at night.
That's why I stick with ginger ale.
It was a bad idea. But anytime Brett has talked about anxiety and depression, in youth group a couple weeks ago, the topic was anxiety and depression. Actually, we spent a couple weeks on it. Yeah. And the answers are in the Bible. Everything about the mind is in the Bible. It's such an interesting concept that I've never really thought about until you pointed that out a couple weeks ago. It's such an amazing thing. And then, I mean, I struggle with anxiety all the time. Again, mild depression, but everything about the mind is in the Bible. Hmm. It's such a crazy thing. The fact that we could be able to point people to that and be like, yo, there is an answer for this. It's so cool.
And the other thing I'll say about, so, cause whenever we talk about anxiety, and we don't need to go all the way down this road,
yeah.
But I think as a little bonus, little candy bag for our listeners, the thing about anxiety is that even if you are clinically depressed and you are on medication, you're still not going to be anxiety free.
Yeah.
A lot of times good anxiety medication brings you to like a normal steady state, but you're still gonna have, and you're just gonna have anxiousness that's always gonna be there. So even if you're chemically speaking, your body can't produce the levels it needs for you to even out naturally. So let's say, you know, you go down that road, we're not anti-medicine. So you get level, you're still going to be worried about work and kids and life. And so these things that we're dealing with and what the Bible teaches are for everyone. Like no one can pull the pin and say, well, I'm clinically depressed, so I need medicine. Fine, but that's not going to solve it.
It doesn't. I mean, I'm on medicine.
I don't even have to know.
I take sertraline, which I mean, so the thing is you don't have the serotonin in your brain. We're going down this weird path, but
yeah,
we can get there eventually.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, not anti-medicine at all.
Nope.
And I still get anxious, but yeah, we have an entire another topic.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll do that next time.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Just a little teaser.
We haven't even planned our next one, but it's
just a taste, folks.
Yeah. Connor Gwynn from A Daily Life Giving Death quotes this: the Christian life is a letting go, a dying, a loosening grip to let the grace and mercy of God rest on us and work through us. Any extra thoughts to add in before we wrap this sucker up?
I think I've said everything that I could possibly think of.
I always think I did add a point.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have an extra note in here. It looks like that you added after the meeting.
I tried to bring it up without words.
I won't like this. No,
talk about it.
But I think this is a topic for like a whole different topic for itself. But I do want to throw it out with when it comes to presenting the gospel to people. And I think that's enemy love. That's love your enemies as yourself. And the verse I found, which was flopped open on my countertop today, was
so pious.
Yes.
So pious.
Look how awesome I am.
I read my Bible.
It's just open in my house, floating around all freestyle.
I don't even know what the cover looks like.
Yeah. It's getting worn out.
But there's dust on it. But it's Romans 12, 20 and 21. It says, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So good.
I mean, it's the Bible, so. Yeah.
Love your enemies as you want to be loved.
Yeah. Love them by sharing the gospel.
Mm-hmm. But thank you for listening to this series. We will be back a couple weeks, I believe.
Yep.
Maybe on anxiety. I don't know.
I have just a large possibility of a baby by then. So
I would.
We'll see.
That'd be nice.
I would.
That's cool.
Okay. Okay.
But no, I think, thank you for listening. Please share, tell your friends, rate us on Apple Podcasts. That gets our algorithm up or whatever.
5 stars and above.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you're actually going to say it. You're like holding your hand up.
I'm just
like,
I'm not,
put 5 stars and then say whatever you
want. Yeah. Then roast it. We don't care.
If you enjoy what we're doing, please share it.
If you have any questions,
You can tap it in on Spotify. You can go to anchor.fm. I can't remember. There's a link. There's a link in the description where you can share it. You can call in.
You can do a voice memo. It's really cool. We'll get all of them.
I think it was completely awful and you wanted you'd be like, hey guys, listen to this awful podcast. Share it with them.
Yes. Anyways, Christ is all and in all. This has been Outsiders Podcast. Thank you for listening.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.